Welcome to the Summit Restoration Church podcast, where hope comes alive, lives are restored, and Jesus leads the way. Let's climb higher together.
On Sunday morning, and some of you say, yay, but I'm going to try to be quick and to the point this morning, because I would like to save room at the end for prayer time, so that we can love on one another and pray for one another. Amen. I preached a message in December about the power of our words. Y'all remember that one? We talked about how everything that was created with words, right? If you look at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And all things came into being through Him, who we know is, who is the Word? Jesus. And apart from Him, not even one thing came into being that has come into being. In Him was life, and the life was the light of mankind. Amen. So we know that Jesus was the Word. You know, I've talked about Word is His heavenly name, Jesus is His earthly name. And we also talked about, how God created, the Bible says in Psalms 8, 1 through 5, it talks about how God created man. And in most translations, it says God created man a little lower than the angels, which is an incorrect translation. If you go in and you look at the correct translation, it says God created man a little lower than Elohim. The people who were translating the King James, they were terrified of that insinuation. So they didn't write the correct translation in. They put that we were a little lower than angels. But it says that God created man a little lower than Elohim. He created man a little lower than Himself. And then it goes on to say, and He crowned him with His glory and gave him His authority. If you want to go back and look at that, that's Psalms 8, 1 through 5. And when Adam sinned, Adam forfeited that glory. He surrendered that authority that God had given him. And Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the what? The glory of God. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So when Jesus came to this earth, not only did He come to bring us life, but He also came to restore that glory and that authority that should have been ours all along, that Adam forfeited back in the garden. So what I want to do today, I want to review a little bit. I want to review quite a bit, and I want to try to refresh our memory so that hopefully next week we can move on deeper into the power of our words and the glory of God. But before we start, I'd like to go to the Lord in prayer. Is that okay? Let's pray. Father God, I love You. Lord, and I just ask You to speak through me. I ask You to use me, Lord. I am Your willing vessel this morning, and I ask You to use me to speak Your word, to speak Your truth. And Lord, I ask that You change lives. I ask that you heal the hurting, that You heal the addiction, that you heal those that are in pain. Lord, I thank you for restoration. Lord, I thank you that you are restoring your authority and your glory to the sons of God. And Lord, we just give you glory this morning. We give you praise. We honor you today. And Lord, I ask that you just move through us and in us in the precious, holy, matchless, wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Let's begin. The series is Get Your Mouth Right. And this would be Get Your Mouth Right Part 2. But if I had a subtitle for the note takers, if I had a subtitle today, it would be I Did It All for Glory. I Did It All for Glory. So are you ready? If you're ready, go ahead and turn in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, like I said, we're going to be quick today. I'm going to be to the point. We're going to review a little bit, and then I want to open it up for some prayer time. So hopefully I'm going to surprise you today about how quick this is going to be. Genesis chapter 2, verse 19 says, "Out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name." Whatever he called them, that's what it was. Why didn't God just name them himself? Why didn't God just name them himself? I mean, he brought them to Adam. Why did he bring them to Adam to name them? Because God chose to give man dominion in the earth, right? God chose to do it this way. He chose to give man dominion over the earth. He declared that you have to have flesh, not a spirit, to have dominion in the earth. You have to have flesh to have dominion in the earth. That means that God chose to give man control of the earth. He's put man in dominion. And he's given him his glory. He's placed his glory on top of him. And he's given him his authority over the work of his hands. So see, every time we see a catastrophic event take place in this world, please don't blame God. Please don't blame God. Don't blame the devil. The devil would probably say to, you know, the devil would probably say to some of us, "Y'all giving me more credit than I deserve. But I'll take it. I'll take the credit, but y'all giving me more credit than I deserve because that wasn't me." You know, and I know that's a hard pill for some of us to swallow because that is such an easy go-to for us. It's an easy go-to when you hit a place in your life that you don't understand to say, "Well, the devil's after me this week. Devil's trying to destroy my life this week." Or either we say something like, "Well, God is in control." Y'all know them. Y'all know those preachers. God is in control. Can I tell you something? Psalms 8 does not bear out that God is in control on this earth. It bears out that he is in ownership. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But he's put man in charge of it. He's given man dominion over the earth. And he's crowned him with his glory. And he's given him his authority so that when Adam speaks, heaven backs Adam up. So here we see in Genesis 2:19, God has put Adam in charge of the earth. And he starts bringing everything to Adam and says, whatever you call it, Adam, that's what it is. Because, Adam, I have put you in the earth to function just like I function in heaven. Make sense? Your world was never meant to respond to your work. It was meant to respond to your words. Can I say that one more time so for you note takers? Your world was never meant to respond to your work. It was meant to respond to your words. If your mouth is negative and your work is positive, your works can never outwork your mouth. Does that make sense? You can be doing everything right. You can be working as hard as you can, but if all you have is negativity come out of your mouth, if all you're speaking out of your mouth is death and failure and negativity, then your works can never outwork your mouth, because your mouth will cancel out your works. Just let that soak in. Just think about that for a second. Can I keep going? Your works can never outwork your mouth. When God wanted something in the Bible, we see it from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1. When God wanted something, God said, and there was. And now he comes to Adam and says, Adam, what do you want them to be? Whatever you want them to be, say it, and that's what they'll be. So see, Adam is in a world that responds to him when he speaks. There is not one mention of labor or sweat or work before Adam sinned. But right after Adam sinned, you see him out of the garden and he's having to till the ground with his hands. Because the earth was never created to respond to Adam's hands. It was created to respond to his mouth. And whatever he called it, that's what it would be. Whenever Adam would speak, because he was crowned with the glory of God, and because he had the authority of God backing him up, whenever Adam would speak, God would back up what Adam would say. So in other words, Adam revealed the glory of God in the earth, because he functioned in the earth just like his heavenly Father does in heaven. That's the way God set it up. Let us make man in our image and in our likeness. Now I'm going somewhere with this. I'm not gonna be long. I'm just making my point, and then we're gonna pray. I'm going somewhere with this because I'm trying to renew your mind as to who you are becoming. Who you were supposed to be. We just read Romans 3:23 that said, for all have sinned and fallen short of the what? The glory of God. So when Adam bit down on that piece of fruit, when he took that bite of that piece of fruit, earth declared its independence from heaven. And that's when all this mess started. When all this mess we see out in the world today started. We no longer need you to function. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil declared. We no longer need you to function, because we have our knowledge now from a tree. the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And we're going to let that flood the earth. We don't need how heaven functions. We don't need how your kingdom functions. We're going to do it our way. And all these years later, we're still doing it our way. And that's why the world is in the mess that it's in today. God didn't do it. God didn't cause it. He didn't do it. We did it our way. But if you turn in your Bibles to Romans 8, Romans 8, verse 19, it says, for the earnest expectation of the creation of earth, of all things earth, for the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So the earth knows that it's in a mess. And it's waiting on somebody who can change things. It's waiting on the sons of God. Pastor Marty, who are the sons of God? Well, then back up just five verses earlier to Romans 8:14. And it says, for as many as are filled or led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And the earth is eagerly waiting on spirit-filled, spirit-led people to step up into their role, into their function, into their place of authority, and once again take their place of authority in this world and reveal once again the glory of God in this earth. It's going to come through us. So why does God want you to be full of His Spirit? Because that's the way He set it up from the beginning. A spirit has no authority in this earth unless it is wrapped in flesh. Because God gave dominion of the earth to a man, not to a spirit. Now, our spirit has to be alive for heaven. For the heavenly realm, because it is a spirit realm. But earth is a fleshly realm. It's a natural realm, a physical realm. A spirit doesn't have any authority in this earth unless it's wrapped in flesh. So He wants His Spirit to come and live on the inside of you and me. Because whatever good on the earth that God is going to do in this earth, He is going to do it through people.
That's right.
Because God chose to give dominion to man. So for Him to function in this earth the way that God wants to function, He needs to do so wrapped in a flesh suit. So God comes to live. When you get born again, God comes to live on the inside of you through His Holy Spirit. We follow that, right? We all believe that. We all agree with that. God comes to live on the inside of you through His Holy Spirit and says, now I want you to offer your body to me as a living sacrifice and let me do good through you. Let me work through you. Let me do good to your brother. Let me do good to your sister. Let me do good to your neighbor. Let me speak through your mouth. Let me heal through your hands. Let me change this world. Let me make an impact. Let me make a difference through you, because God uses people who have His dominion and have His glory on this earth. Follow me? Pastor Marty, why didn't God just save us from his throne in heaven? Why go through all that blood stuff? Why didn't he just look down from heaven and wave his hand and say, be saved? That would have been the easy way to do it, right? But it's because he set it up that way from the beginning. He chose not to be able to do anything in the earth unless he went through flesh. Man has dominion. Just think about John 1:14. John 1:14 said, and the Word became. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his what? We beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus had to come to this earth in an earth suit, in flesh, so that he could restore, not only give us life, but so that he could restore the glory of God to the rightful sons of God.
Right.
So that we could once again walk in our calling. So that we could once again walk in our function the way we were originally created to be. 1 Corinthians tells us that man is the image and the glory of God in this earth. Man is. People should take a look at you and they should feel the glory of God through you. 2 Corinthians 3, 16 through 18 says, but the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, in other words, the moment somebody gets saved, the moment somebody gives their life to Jesus, the moment one turns to the Lord with an open heart, the veil is lifted and they see. Now, the Lord I'm referring to is the Holy Spirit. And wherever he is Lord, there is freedom. Now, verse 18. We can all draw close to him with the veil removed from our faces. And with no veil, we all become like mirrors who brightly reflect the glory of the Lord Jesus. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. And this glorious transfiguration comes from the Lord, who is Spirit. Now, the New King James says, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So you know what? You know what I thought and what jumped out at me there? You need to watch what you behold. Because whatever you behold, you become.
That's exactly right.
What are you putting in your eye gate? What are you putting in your ear gate? Whatever you behold, you become. We are being transfigured into his very image as we move from one brighter level of glory to another. So, Pastor Marty, you've told me that my words don't work without glory. And now we just read that there are different levels of glory. And I want to wrap this up with just a couple of small stories. And I want to try to bring this to a close today. And if you don't mind, if y'all can go ahead and kill the lights. And if you don't mind, put on some music very softly. I want to bring this to a close today. We just read that there are different levels of glory. And I don't have time to read these stories. I don't have time to read all of this. So I'm just going to tell you what it says. Is that okay? You can go back home. You can go back home and read it for yourself at home. But in John chapter 9, there was a man that was born blind. And all the people that were gathered around in that crowd that day, around this blind man, and Jesus was there, and all the people that were gathered around that day, they asked Jesus, who sinned? Who sinned? His mom? His dad? Himself? Who sinned that he was born blind? Isn't it funny how many of us, how many people always want to assign blame? But who sinned, Jesus, that this man was born blind? Was it his mom, his dad, himself? And Jesus looked at the crowd and he answered them. And he said, no one sinned. This was done. This whole thing was a setup so that I can show you who the king really is. Can you say amen to that? I mean, that right there, if you think about that right there ought to change your whole outlook on the difficulty and the pain that you've experienced in your life. This whole thing was a setup so that I can show you my glory. Then you skip forward a couple of chapters in John. And Lazarus is sick. And Mary and Martha are his sisters. And Jesus was their friend. And Mary and Martha sent word to Jesus that his friend Lazarus was sick. And he was on his deathbed. And they sent word to Jesus. If you will just come, you can heal him. Because your friend Lazarus is sick. And he needs you. And then Jesus sends back word to them. He is not sick. This is for glory. Then the Bible says that Jesus waits two more days. His friends laying there dying. And Jesus waits two more days before he visits Lazarus. 2 days pass. And Jesus finally shows up and Lazarus is dead. And Mary and Martha are mad. And rightfully so. Amen? I mean, if you're being truthful, wouldn't you be mad? If you would have just been here, Jesus, if you would have just been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. You could have healed him. He wouldn't have died if you would have just came when we thought you were supposed to come. See, we're good at praying prayers and we think that Jesus, we know exactly when Jesus needs to come. We want him to come on our time frame. In our time schedule. Jesus, he wouldn't have died if you would have just came when we thought you were supposed to come. And then Jesus turns to them and he said, did I not tell you that you were going to see glory? Now, can I just be honest with you this morning? Pastor Marty here. I had to come to grips with this next statement that I'm about to say. This was not a comfortable statement for me to wrap my head around. Jesus let it get worse on purpose. Jesus let it get worse on purpose. You ever had anything going on in your life? And no matter what you do, it just seems like it keeps going. Just keeps going down. Somebody you're praying for, a situation in your life that you're believing for, a trial it just that you're going through, and you're just praying and you pray and you pray and you pray, and it just seems like it gets worse, and it seems like the more you pray, the worse it gets. Mary and Martha know how you feel. You're doing everything you know to do. You're doing everything right. But nothing is changing. Doing everything right, but your fleshly eyes, and your fleshly eyes is getting worse. Or at the very least, nothing's changing. I've had seasons in my life where I did everything that I knew to do until I was exhausted. And it seemed like it just kept getting worse. Have you ever been there? Are you there right now? There's that trauma that you've went through and you just can't get over it. There's that situation in your life and it just seems like your prayers don't go through the ceiling. There's that person you're praying for, and that person you're praying for just, it seems like they're getting meaner instead of better. They're getting further away from the Lord than closer to the Lord. Or they're getting sicker, like Lazarus was. Can you put yourself in Mary and Martha's shoes for just a moment as they watched their brother Lazarus gasped for breath and Jesus don't show up? Why? Jesus had healed so many people and they knew he could do it. They had seen him do it. So the healing glory had already been revealed. But a God that raises the dead back to life, nobody has seen that kind of glory yet. And Jesus let it get worse on purpose, just so he could reveal a side of himself that they had never seen. And I came here this morning on one mission. And that's to tell you that some of the reasons that thing is not turned around in your life yet is because maybe this is all a setup. Maybe this is all just a setup. And God is about to reveal his glory to you. Reveal his glory in a way that he has never revealed it to you before. He's about to reveal a side of himself to you that you've never seen. And he's just waiting on the sons of God to step into their function and to reveal his glory and to speak those things that be not as though they were. Can somebody agree with me this morning? To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Show us your glory, Lord. Show us your glory this morning. I did it all for glory. If you're in this building this morning and you've been watching a situation go down in your life, maybe it's a trauma in your life, maybe Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe you've been praying for a certain person. Maybe whatever it may be, whatever the situation may be, if you're in this building and you have been watching a situation go down in your life, if you've been praying and praying and praying and nothing seems to change, Angela and I both know we know exactly what you're going through. We know what it's like to watch things go down. We're there with you. Only to see it get so bad that you feel like you're suffocating sometimes. Can I tell you something? When God does show up, when He does show up, not if He shows up, when God does show up, it's going to be such a miracle that only He can get the glory from it. And when He does it, when He does show up and when He does answer your prayer, it changes you forever. You'll never be the same. Never, never, never. If He did it once, He can do it again. And maybe, just maybe, there's some of you in here this morning. I really hate it that we've got so many out today, because I wanted the whole church to hear this message today. But maybe there are some of you in here this morning and you look good. You look good. You clean up good on the outside, but on the inside you're hurting. On the inside you're going through a thing. On the inside it just seems like that thing just keeps going, or at least, and nothing's changing because of something you're going through. Or maybe somebody you love and you've done everything that you know to do, and it seems like nothing's changing or the situation's getting worse. If that is you today, Angela, would you come? Landon, would you come? If that is you today, I want you to be bold this morning.
Thanks for joining us today at Summer Restoration Church. Stay encouraged, stay connected, and let's keep climbing higher together. See you next time.